Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, and this show is about, let's call it about inner peace. How's that? I love it. We can all go there together. And we're going to, because we have a wonderful book called EU Feeling, exclamation mark. Not just you feeling, but exclamation mark. And to help us understand how to create inner peace is the author of the book. He's been a guest on the show before, Dr. Frank Kinslow. Frank, welcome.
Well, thank you so much for taking a second chance on me here. It's well, good to be back.
Well, I can't wait to ask you, how are you feeling?
You know, we have trouble with that EU in Europe with the you know, the Eurozone and everything EU over there. So we
thought it was made for them.
Yes. Well, and in fact, in the UK, they didn't even use the title. You Feeling in the title, just because they felt it would be too confusing. So that's not a problem here in the States. And that EU for You Feeling is actually the base. It comes from the Greek, which can mean a number of things, but one of them is truth, and one of them is stillness. And I actually coined the word using that from Hans Selye, who was or is the renowned stressologist, the one who studied stress, whether it be the negative things that cause stress, or he said there are things that can cause stress that are positive, you know, like somebody giving us a lot of money or getting a raise. And he called those positive stresses EU stress. So I borrowed the root from him and stuck it onto the feeling, because you feeling is actually not a feeling at all, but it is a perception, an actual perception of what we are at our purest or our most subtle expression of us as human beings.
And let's call that versus something, for instance, versus common consciousness.
Ah, yes. Common consciousness is something that we normally run around in. And it's, you know, it's kind of like we're on autopilot. When you're driving to work, your mind is usually elsewhere. It's not on driving. And, you know, you get to work and you figure, well, my gosh, I hardly even remember getting here. I remember what I thought about, but I don't remember, you know, turning right at the light and so on and so forth. Excuse me. The common consciousness comes in gradations or varieties, but it's basically that kind of autopilot that we go through life pretty much just wasting this energy that we have, this incredible mental energy that is founded in our essence or our you feeling. So what we do with quantum entrainment is we shift that awareness away from common consciousness, everyday consciousness, into this super consciousness of you feeling, and then we perform our daily activities from that level.
I was just thinking that you feeling is to common consciousness as common consciousness is to getting our car to work.
Oh, that would work, yes. That's perceptive. I like that.
Right.
Somebody's thinking.
Thank you. Well, it's interesting because I'm very excited about this, what you're describing in the book and what you teach in your workshops. I know you have a huge following in Europe.
Yeah. Yeah, we sure do. We're in a number of countries, and we go over twice a year for about 2 months each time, and just go to various countries. And we're adding more and more all the time. We're about ready to leave in September for our next tour, and the new countries this time are the Netherlands and Croatia. And we're moving actually eastward from where we first landed in Germany, and like the Beatles, you know, our first gig was in Hamburg, and we've been expanding out through Italy and Spain and even Estonia, which I had to look up on the map. But it's a great thing. The orientation there towards this kind of work is a little bit different than we see here, and so they've taken to it readily.
Yes, and so it's fascinating that there's more of an interest in this approach to life, or at least to the mechanics of your work to create this approach to life, than people are immediately attracted to here. And I'm hoping our radio show will create more of a sense of the value of what you're teaching and communicating, because I find that you do have the answer. You know, so many people are seeking enlightenment. They're trying to create enlightenment.
Yeah.
And this isn't about that.
Yeah, it's, after almost 40 years of rather intensive spiritual work, and I don't mean just reading books and doing techniques, but I would actually sequester myself for months at a time in silent meditation and experimentation. And in fact, I probably have close to 3 years of silent meditation, just sitting and meditating all day long, day after day. And then in my when in activity during that time, I used to work almost 3 hours a day, where I'd have two sessions, an hour and a half in the morning and an hour and 15 minutes in the afternoon, every day, every day of the year. In meditation and then learning and teaching from there. And what I found out was that after all that time, the people that had been with me the longest, I looked at their lives to see if the quality of their life, the peace in their life, was being reflected outwardly. And I could say I really couldn't see it, even though they would tell me, yeah, we can do miraculous things. We can heal aches and pains in minutes, and we can get rid of emotional trauma. But inwardly, our lives are pretty much, we're still suffering. We're still being tossed around on the rocky shores of relativity, of common consciousness. And then I looked at my own life, and I said, all of this trying, all of this effort really hasn't netted much after almost 40 years. So I just gave up. And as soon as I gave up, there was a great deal of peace. It was absolute and unbounded. And I thought, my goodness, this is interesting. It's not in what you do, it's in what you are. And so I started exploring this idea of not doing. And that was the birth of what we call quantum entrainment.
But it's also understanding what you are, who you are.
The understanding is actually a side effect. I guess understanding comes, the main thing here is a perception. You must perceive
right.
clearly. And from that, then the understanding comes. It's not a process of understanding, because now when you're trying to understand who you are, you're doing something.
Yeah, it's too mental.
Right. And even any mental, mental activity is activity. What you are transcends activity. And when I say what you are, Peter, I mean what your essence is. Look at it this way. Everywhere the light is shining, right? The sun, let's say you're outside and the sun is shining, and that light is everywhere. But then when you hold up a prism, that part of that light goes through the prism and then is broken up into its various colors. We have that dual aspect. We are both the pure light and all of those colors at the same time. We think, when we live in our lives, we just think we're that various color, and we look at another person, I'm indigo, but this person here is yellow. That's not quite as good as indigo. And, we kind of look at the differences.
Well, that's our ego. Our ego is measuring everything, every single thing.
Yes, that's what ego does.
Right.
So when we have the perception of this oneness, which, by the way, this is not a new teaching. I mean, a new philosophy. And we've been told that it takes many years of arduous training and study to clear our mind of thoughts, for instance, or to become aware of our inner self. It's just not true. If you are trying, if you are working at it, yes. But as soon as you stop working on the problem of knowing yourself, as Socrates said in the past, know thyself, thyself is non-movement. It's unbounded. It's everywhere all the time. And you can't do something to know what's already there. You can't go somewhere that yourself already isn't.
You can only,
I don't know if it's,
I guess you can only be yourself rather than know yourself. There's too much to know.
And exactly. I mean, the mind, our minds are just not capable of knowing even the most minuscule slice of the cause and effect creation universe that we live in.
Right.
So we don't have to know it. We don't have to understand it, rather. But we can know it through perception.
Now, this is a hard concept. I'm glad you wrote a book about it, because it's removing your mind and your ego from from your drive, because it's supposed to be a pleasant drive. Our egos don't allow it to be very pleasant.
Yeah, well, that sounds like a lot of work, and anyone who's tried to dominate their ego has found a great deal of failure before even minor successes. But
right.
You see, this is a really neat thing. Look at the ego like a shadow. It really doesn't exist. It does, but it has no substance. Let's put it that way. When we're in common consciousness, the ego drives us, and it leads us around like a horse being led by a carrot on a stick. You know, you just sort of, but then the ego says, I want this carrot. I want, this new house or this automobile. But trying to get rid of the ego is in itself an egotistical activity. Why would you want to do that? Because you want to become better, which is what the ego is already doing.
It's, right. It's using your ego to get rid of the ego.
Exactly. You know, a broken mind can't fix itself. So when we use the mind, when we use thinking or emotion, or feelings rather, to fix ourselves, we're just fooling ourselves. And anyone who's done any inner work knows that it keeps cropping up. You'll squash the ego, or you'll squash these desires in one area of your life, and they pop up in another.
Well, we have a very strong survival mechanism.
Absolutely. And what happens, and let me finish this thought about the ego and this actually the survival mechanism that is very strong in the ego, because the ego sees itself as separated from the self, from the unbounded support of universal wisdom.
So it has to work harder.
Yes. And in fact, the answer is how to get rid of ego is to simply become aware of your inner nature. When you do that, ego is automatically erased. I mean, it just cannot exist in its individual form when you are aware of your unbounded and beautiful, joyful, blissful nature. Ego, the goal, see, ego wants a new car for a number of reasons. Maybe it gives them more power, maybe it gives them status, maybe it can get them somewhere faster, a better job, whatever. Those are all material things, and they're relative. They rely on other things. Your inner self is not relative. It's unbounded. It's everywhere all the time. So as soon as you experience yourself, you have experienced the goal of every thought, word, and action that you perform through ego. Ego wants to always improve, and when you become aware of yourself, you are at the ultimate improvement, if you will. You are at the ultimate realization as a human being. And so ego is not needed.
This is self with a capital S.
Yes, exactly.
It's the larger self.
The true meaning of know thyself. It's not, how big you are or what your emotions are, what your goals or hopes are. That's the little self. That's the ego self.
Well, if we are unbounded, then we can't measure it. So
no, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
So if you can't measure it, what we use are instruments in science, and to be objective. We use our mind to measure things subjectively, But when it comes to the self, which has no boundaries, or you feeling, which is the in our prism analogy, prism meaning the light going through, the you feeling is that first glimmering of individuality, the first part of color, the first essence of color coming on. It's not pure. It's now us. It's our first part of being a human being. And it still is unbounded, but it is also individual. It's both at the same time. And that's why you feeling is so unique in creation. It is the only thing in creation that is both unbounded and has some individuality to it.
Well, now I want to ask you, because a lot of people say, well, the real essence that you have to feel in life and the beauty that you need to work with is love. And as long as you can embrace love, then you don't need to do anything else.
Right. This is absolutely, well, wait a minute now. Did you say you don't need to do anything else?
Well, in other words, love wins the game.
Okay. Define love.
Exactly. I'm glad you said that. I'm only, talking about the way people like to communicate about higher consciousness and greater good is that, the bottom line is love. And that gets me a little bit lost. That's why I asked you.
Well, here's a good way to look at it in terms of what we've just been talking about. There's little love with a small L, and then there's capital L love. Now, that's universal love.
Right.
So we can just plug those in. Little love comes from ego. It's also called conditional love. Now, what many people refer to as unconditional love, that joy and love for somebody else, is still conditional. I mean, if the person you love so much treats you very badly or causes some concern for you physically or emotionally, that love is tainted. There is an underlying love, but that's not because of the person. That's always because of your own perception of yourself. So universal love is self-love with a capital S. It's the same thing.
Okay.
So you feeling is love.
That's what I thought you'd say.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, so
you're pretty smart. You know that.
Well, I'm trying to be anyway. that gets me nowhere, as you know. I have really learned a lot about surrender and surrender to a higher consciousness, and that I think is another way of approaching this. I've been working with the Human Design System for many years. And that's a system based on birth data, and it comes up with different mechanics of our personalities, and it has some underlying traits and types to it. And one of the types that 70% of the population holds is being a generator, and that means your second chakra is active, and runs your life, and it keeps you busy. So generators are the slaves of the world. We just think that being busy makes life work. So we get up every morning and say, what do I have to do now to make life work? And yet the theme of a generator is frustration. And the frustration is that the pot we're stirring just doesn't do a whole lot for all the stirring that we're doing.
Yeah.
And so that's all the trying stuff. And so The strategy that I've developed and communicated to people is while you stir the pot, because your engine, your motor is going to keep going, you're going to keep on thinking you have to do things, but at the same time, you got to take your eye off the pot.
Perfect. And what we're talking about here is something. Now we're discussing my new book, You Feeling. That is part of what is called the Kinslow system. The Kinslow system is actually what you just described. It incorporates the ability to very quickly and easily go in and perceive your unbounded essence, and then how to use it effectively in the day-to-day world. That is, you use it without effort, without trying, because as soon as you start trying, you lose contact with that unbounded and non-moving aspect of life. So you have to have a connection of both at the same time. And this is what we call QE awareness. That is being aware of you feeling that at the same time that you're washing your dishes, having a conversation with the boss, and so on.
Right. So
it's done effortlessly.
Right. It's a dual way of holding life. It's being busy and at the same time being in surrender.
Yes. Yes, exactly. And because there are two phases to life, there's the unbounded, ultimate, deep stillness, the non-moving. In quantum mechanics, this field is referred to as implicate order. That is, no, it's not pure energy. It's no energy, no form. Remember, if there's an energy, there has to be a form to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's no energy, no form. But oddly enough, from that comes everything. And you'll see this in the basic scriptures from around the world. You know, in the beginning was, you know, there was nothing. And then from this nothing, whether it's the Upanishads or Christian doctrine or Sufi, in the beginning was naught. And from that naught comes everything. Well, that's what we human beings should be living. But we live 99.9% of the time in the active side of life. Now, this is a good point, and I'm glad you brought it up. Most of us human beings, I'm going to say more than 60%, I'm going to say closer to almost all of us, are oriented towards doing to get something done, to reach satisfaction, to satisfy the ego. But unfortunately, as soon as we reach a goal, now we have to have another one because that doesn't last so very long. And I won't go into the dynamics of that now, which I do explain in You Feeling.
And beautifully done, too, by the way.
Thank you. But what happens is, let's look at it in terms of rest, okay? The rest is the universal healer. I mean, it doesn't matter what's bothering you, whether it's a broken leg or some emotional upset, a broken heart, for instance. And rest is always there needed for the healing. The deeper the rest, the deeper the healing. Now, when you are aware of yourself, when you are aware of you feeling, you are experiencing the deepest rest that you can experience. Now, this is not Frank saying, this is really cool, deep rest, and you've got to take my word for it. This is actually based on research from as far back as 1970 with Dr. Robert Keith Wallace, who published a paper that says, that identified the three states of motion, of activity, that is waking and deep sleep and dreaming. But he found a fourth major state. Now, by the way, a major state is those four, or those three states that I mentioned, and one more. The daydreaming and hypnosis and those kinds of things are variations on one of the major states. So you're either in one or the other. You're either awake, you're dreaming, or you're asleep. But then he found the fourth major state, and that is when people became aware of themselves, they experienced this. And here's the difference. When you're awake, your body is active and your mind is active. When you're asleep, your body is rested compared to when it's awake, and your mind is inactive. And when you're dreaming, you're kind of caught in between, where your body is not as active as when you're awake, but not as rested as when you're asleep. And your mind is also active at that point. This fourth major state that he found, which is akin to becoming aware of you feeling, actually pure awareness, which leads to your feeling, he found that the body is actually in deeper rest state than when you're in deep sleep. And the mind is clearly awake. And that is we just step out of activity. Once we've done that now, and that state, becoming aware of that, I refer to as pure awareness. Once we become aware of pure awareness, in most traditions, when they teach about this, then they say, okay, now go back out and be active. And sooner or later, you'll get it, that pure awareness and activity can come together. But when we do quantum entrainment under the Kinslow system, what we actually do is we go in and experience pure awareness, and then the next subtle step is to become aware of you feeling, which holds us in this very deep-rested state while we are doing our normal everyday activities.
I understand that totally. It's a way of holding life in surrender, but in confidence that the greater part of you, the greater part of the universe, is churning away, taking care of whatever needs to be taken care of in ways that we have no idea. So we can take our foot off the pedal, and yet we're still going the speed limit.
Absolutely beautiful analogy. I like that.
Thank you. Well, I like what you're doing. We only have a few minutes left, and and I'm there's so much to talk about actually about this subject matter, and yet your book is gets to the point very quickly, and it's clear on how we can use this to move our lives along in ways that we want, even though our egos are involved. Let's say we have chronic illness and we want to get better.
Mm-hmm.
We can apply this and surrender at the same time. And because we don't know really what will make us better. We don't know how to do it correctly.
Yes.
So if we go into this higher state of consciousness, then we're letting greater forces work for us, and we can surrender the efforting.
Well, let me say this exactly. And when you do it this way, you will find in seconds to minutes the results. For instance, healing physical pains and getting relief from chronic illnesses and emotional concerns. And even working with your friends and neighbors and even your pets. It's you're absolutely right when I say it's all tied in together. And we don't really, our limited minds really cannot figure it out. But when we hook into our ultimate self then and let it go, it does the healing force. And it does it deeper and more quickly than we could possibly do otherwise.
Well, this is a great service that you're offering to the world.
Well,
and
I appreciate that. Thank you, Peter.
And as you say in the book, we do need a certain percentage. There's math involved in this, how many people can actually help heal the world. And I'm glad that you approach everything in the book about working on ourselves to allow you feeling to help our lives and also to help others. So let's talk.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to, we have to, we only have 2 minutes left.
Oh, okay.
So tell people how they can find out more about you, how to get your book.
Well, you can go to the website at kinslowsystem.com. Kinslow is KINSLOW.com, kinslowsystem.com. And we have a lot of books, CDs. You can learn this process right from a book. It's so natural to a human being. And even when it's translated around the world, people are picking up the book and doing it. I mean, just that simple. You can actually, Hay House has just published You Feeling, so you can actually pick it up from any of the major booksellers. And I believe it's also an audio book at this point. So if you like to hear it, you can do that through Amazon, I believe.
And it's spelled
audible.com.
And it's spelled EUFEELING.
That's right.
Yes. And you are Dr. Frank Kinslow. Frank, thank you so much for talking with us today and being a guest on Energy Stew.
It's always a joy to talk with someone who understands what we're talking about.
Well,
thank you so very much.
Yes, and thank you. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com or PRN.FM. And I can be reached at peter@heartriver, heartriver.org, or 212-222-7748. Lots of classes coming up in New York, all kinds of great stuff. So tune in, and thank you for listening.